So please take your Bible, turn back to the gospel text that was read just a few moments ago, Matthew's gospel, chapter 13. We'll be looking at the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast this morning. So this being Labor Day weekend, as we're all very much aware of, it is the traditional end of the summer season. Over the years, I've found that I've really come to enjoy a preaching series during this season, and this summer was certainly no different. As you recall, most of the summer we spent in the book of James, that wonderful brief and convicting epistle toward the end of the New Testament. And I didn't initially intend to, but as it turns out, my last three sermons for the summer have become kind of a little mini-series. I know you see that once in a while on television. I don't know how often you get it in the pulpit, but it happened that way this time. It's been a mini-series on the parables of Jesus, some that he told concerning the kingdom of God. And for this mini-series, I chose parables about the kingdom of God that are found in Matthew's gospel, the 13th chapter. So just to review, just to kind of refresh our memory a little bit on the first two parables that I preached upon in this mini-series. A few weeks ago, it was the parable of the wheat and the weeds. That's the one you find beginning in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. And from that text, we were reminded that God's kingdom has arrived in the coming of Jesus. And the fact that evil still exists in the world, in spite of the fact that Jesus has come and lived and died and been resurrected, the fact that evil still exists in the world need not dishearten us. We live and do the work of the kingdom so that the gospel can flourish in our day. And as you may remember, one of the lessons that came from this parable was just as weeds appear in our gardens each summer, we do the work of weeding each and every summer so that vegetables and flowers can flourish in their current growing season. And one day, one of the lessons of that parable is that Christ is going to return, and when he comes, he will bring final judgment with him, and all the saints will inherit God's kingdom fully come at the arrival of the new heaven and the new earth. That will be the day when there will be no more weeds, no more weeds, no more evil in the world. But until that day comes, we have the privilege of being on God's front line, of advancing the kingdom of God, living the life of Christ before others as an act of faithfulness in advancing the kingdom of God. And that is why the weeds will not destroy us or dishearten us, because we know the end of the story. Now, last week's parable was the one of the sower. It begins at the first part of Matthew's the 13th chapter of Matthew's gospel. And it emphasizes not only receptivity to the word of God, you remember the seed that's being scattered on the various types of soil, but also it stresses obedience and discipleship. For where the word finds root in our lives, it will bear fruit. And that is God's intention for his word, to take root in our lives, and his intention is for us to respond to it in faithfulness and obedience, so that by God's grace, we will bear witness to his truth and his love out in the world. And fruit that bears witness to God in this way, that bears witness to the character of God's kingdom, comes through lives lived in obedience to loving God with all that we are and loving our neighbors as ourselves. So as much as that is a parable about receptivity to God's word, it's also a parable about obedience and discipleship and bearing fruit. This morning we're going to end this mini-series looking at two kind of mini-parables, really short, brief texts, parables. The one about the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, or the parable of the yeast. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds. Yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, providing shelter for the birds. And the kingdom of heaven, he also says, is like yeast that a woman mixed into a large amount of flour, and though a small amount, practically invisible, the yeast does its work throughout all the dough. Now, just a couple of qualifiers about these two parables. We know that the mustard seed is not absolutely technically the smallest seed that there is, and that the mustard plant was not always the largest plant found in Middle Eastern gardens. But Jesus, let's remember what he's doing. He's using hyperbole to make a point by contrasting the smallness of the mustard seed with how great a plant grows from it. And what exactly is the point that he's making? Well, I think, first of all, what Jesus is doing in this parable is he's addressing his skeptics and those who wanted to believe in him but were struggling with the nature of the kingdom of God that he was proclaiming. His skeptics and the strugglers believed that when God's kingdom was finally going to be ushered in by the promised Messiah, it would arrive with great power. God would powerfully overthrow those who were oppressing the Jewish people, and God would eradicate all the evil in the world. And the skeptics and the strugglers' point was, well, sure, Jesus, I mean, we've seen you do a few miracles, but where's the real display of God's might? Where's the real display of God's authority? Where's the overthrow of the Roman occupying army? Where's the appearance of legions of angels bringing the judgment of God on all the wickedness in the world? Where's that? Those are the kinds of things that would demonstrate that the real kingdom of God has finally come, has finally broken into human history. Now, by pointing to the mustard seed, Jesus is saying, don't be fooled if my ministry seems unimpressive, because your expectations of how the kingdom of God is breaking into the world are all wrong. Contained in this tiny mustard seed is all that is necessary to produce one of the largest of all garden plants. It may not meet your expectations now or look the way you think it should, but this is the way God is bringing about his kingdom on earth. The mustard seed is small, or like yeast in a batch of flour, practically invisible. But in Christ and his ministry, God's kingdom has come. God's kingdom has broken in, and nothing, not even the gates of hell, will stop it. So here's the lesson for us. God's kingdom work can't and won't be defined or measured by the world's expectations. God's kingdom work can't and won't be defined by the world's expectations. You know, the world expects the impressive and the remarkable. Kingdom work is often humble and ordinary. The world measures greatness in terms of crushing the competition and domination. I thought about the New England Patriots when I wrote that. The kingdom of God measures greatness in terms of sacrificial service and selfless love. This is the way God works. And what starts small and seems insignificant can change lives
and alter the very course of all human history. I love, I believe it was our nursery toddler, youngest kid's Sunday school class that made this little picture called The Parable of the Mustard Seed. Pardon me? Oh, it was high school. Yeah, I was about to say, that's pretty developed artwork for a four-year-old. But it says here, the smallest actions can have the biggest impact. This stays in our nursery now, currently. But that's the mustard seed dynamic at work. The smallest actions, the things that people often overlook or consider unimportant, when done in the Spirit of Christ, as a response to the love of God in our lives given to others, can have the biggest impact. This is how God works in our world today. And the mustard seed dynamic is what the Apostle Paul wrote about when he reminded the Corinthian Christians about how the good news of Christ's life, death, and resurrection changed everything for them. If you want to turn in your Bibles, follow along with me. But it's a familiar text in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one would boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." It's the mustard seed dynamic. And the mustard seed dynamic, as Jesus speaks of it in this parable and as Paul speaks of it in the Corinthians text, may confound expectations of others, but it absolutely transforms the world. The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast remind us that God delights in using what seems small and insignificant in the world to change and transform the world. Remember Jesus said over in Matthew's Gospel in the 10th chapter, verse 42, that even a cup of cold water given in His name is worthy of an eternal reward. This is how the kingdom of God has always advanced and continues to grow today. The smallest acts of kindness, the everyday opportunities to serve others in love, the simple words of Christ's love and forgiveness, humbly shared with anyone who is broken or lost, have the power to transform individual lives and change the world. Because in God's kingdom economy, small acts of sacrificial love offered in the Spirit of Christ take on the greatest significance. These small seeds planted in the lives of others and scattered generously throughout our world bring glory to God and as Jesus teaches, brings forth the kingdom of God. So this morning, let the mustard seed dynamic motivate us to serve with our whole hearts in all ways, even the smallest of ways. By doing that, we continue to bring the kingdom in, to give glory to God, and be a blessing to humanity. Thanks be to God. Amen.